This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
She has given explicit instructions where her material possessions are to go and where her remains are to be laid to rest.
Do you think Nulara asked to go back home because she knew what an utter pain in the ass it would be to travel her all this way back to go and put her, like, with her family? Do you think that's why she did it?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I honestly wouldn't.
She feels guilty as I feel, because I feel guilty. I think that's survivor remorse.
Yeah, just a little bit. So where's your boss, friend?
My boss's name is Axel Morelli, and his headquarters is in Hellgate Dell.
You round a final bend that opens up into a larger clearing. You're sitting with Johnson. She mentioned how much she loved the two of you, how you were family to her.
I raise my glass and I say, to Nulara, she saved us all.
Hear, hear.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your dungeon master, Russ Moore, who wasn't just crying like a little crybaby.
Like a little bitch.
Yep, that's me. Also with
well,
me
that's two of us.
Yes. Also with me today is my lovely wife, Amy.
Stone Moore. Cold.
Amy Moore.
Heart of stone. I don't cry.
Ice
I
Queen.
I play Thea Amastasia.
And brother in cry, Tom Laird.
Yep, that's me. I play Flint Firebeard.
How's everybody doing today?
Good.
So good.
So good. Fine.
Tapping into emotions. It's so good.
We thought the finale was a heavy episode, man. Oof. Hoo doggy. Thank you for listening to that last episode, and welcome to this episode. It'll be a little lighter, hopefully. We'll see.
See how it goes.
I'm hoping it's no heavy guarantees. On the killing.
Ooh, all right. I can get behind this.
Light on emotion, heavy on killing.
You know where there is an adventure that is heavy on the killing?
Where?
Is over on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where we have a whole bunch of bonus episodes. By this point, probably pretty close to 30 hours of bonus episodes.
Dang, that's a lot.
Varying stories. But the main one that we do over there is run by our good friend Tom here.
Teary Tom.
That's the one. It's set in Faerun, but it's a homebrew campaign that I've been making as we go, and it's been super fun so far.
Has been. I've gotten to throw bodies on top of, like, trip stones and shit. It's fun times.
So we play that over there. It's for patrons only.
Although if you scroll way back in the feed, there is, like, the first episode of it is in the regular feed.
And it only gets better from there.
It does. Like all of our stuff. Yeah. We are like a fine wine.
Better with age.
Yeah, it's fun when the first time ever that you DM, it's recorded for a podcast. So,
hey, Carla and I were there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Not as longstanding as yours. So you demand, Tom. You demand.
Thank you.
Not only do I like to throw you guys into the DM fire, but, you know, I'd like to commit you to multi-year campaigns. None of this one-shot bullshit.
No.
Anyways, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And when you become a patron, we dedicate an episode to you. To one of you every episode. And today's episode is dedicated to Alex.
Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Alex.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Alex.
patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Fuck it. Let's play D&D.
Okay.
We find ourselves in the Moonbrook community. the ceremony with her family has taken place, and it's a couple days later at this point. You two have decided to stick around and just kind of collect yourselves before heading back out on the road. And we find you in the morning getting ready to do so. Go for
it. As I'm putting on my weapons and stuff, I look over and I go, but really, when I sang In the Arms of the Angels, was it too much?
It felt right in the moment.
I was asking Flint, but that's good. Ruland, that's important to you too, Ruland. I didn't know who else was there.
Ruland takes his head. He's like, he was just peeking through the window. It's like, yeah, just okay. Bye.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
I mean, he's not wrong. It was a little much. But also, you could tell it was from the heart, so it was good.
All right. I think she maybe would have hated it.
Oh, she 100% yeah. would have hated it.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. Whew. Did it justice, then. I guess we head back to Waterdeep?
I mean, yeah, like, Where do we go?
What
do
we do? We really should have talked about this beforehand.
Ooh, should we summon one of those trains?
Yeah, do you know how to do that?
No, but I'm sure that if we ask someone, we'll figure it out.
Okay, here's an idea. We walk out, we have all of our stuff, right? Because we do not want to be ill-prepared for this.
Okay.
And then, so we just stand where there's a clearing, and we just go, woo, woo!
I mean, I don't remember us doing that in the past, but no. I'm on board for it.
And then hopefully we'll be on board the train, am I right?
Up right? top.
I assume we high five.
Yeah, well, 100% we did.
Well, let's go call ourselves a train.
I mean, what the hell? It can't hurt, right?
We go outside and is Ruben still?
Ruland.
Ruben.
Spooky Ruland.
Is Ruland still just...
No, he's gone off. He left. Not, well, he didn't leave, but he's, like, milling about doing...
Things?
Chores.
Ruland, I think it's time we head off.
Of course. You're always welcome. As Jonzik has probably said many times, this is your home if you need it.
You let us know if that clown over in Hellgate Dell is giving you any trouble. We'll come right back lickety-split, take care of it.
Of course. Thank you. How do we get a hold of you?
Just send a letter to the...
I mean, Leosin, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's probably best.
Good. Okay, we will. Thank you. We don't have to do goodbyes with everybody.
Goodbye.
Yeah, you say your goodbyes with everybody, and you climb back aboard your carriage with Tiny, Clip Clop, and Buttercup. And
the horses. We can't just take the train.
I would assume
that a magic train would have.
Oh, could probably accommodate the horses.
Yeah.
Good call.
How big do you imagine this train to be?
I thought it was quite small, like the Hogwarts Express.
That's a big train.
Well, no, but not like compartment-wise, like their normal train cars. Full-size passenger
train. Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm sure it has cargo trains. Anyway, we're on the carriage now. That train has passed.
It has sailed.
Mixed metaphor.
Yeah.
So, okay, here I think we head back to Waterdeep. We talk to Leosin. I don't know about you. I feel a gaping hole in my life that needs to be filled. And it's either going to be adventure, alcohol, or drugs. You with me?
I'm with you on the adventure aspect. I've always needed, like, a thing to go do. I'm not good at just sitting around. So let's go do some stuff.
Let's do a thing. Okay. Hi-yah!
Oh, wait, we were giving one of the horses to the Moonbrook estate, correct?
Yes, we were. We were going to give Nulara's.
Tiny was
Tiny's yours. Mine.
Clip Clop's mine, so it was Buttercup.
Okay. So, yes, you leave Buttercup with the Moonbrooks.
I turn back to Donnie and I say, Donnie, we love having you here. And if you want to, we would love you to come with us. But if you feel like you are more at home here with New Lara's family, we would understand.
I'm just gonna assume
we could take him.
Maybe like, should have talked about this previously, I guess, but
previously on Dungeons and Dragons.
Right?
There's a lot of flashback scenes here.
There's a lot to take care of in the wake of someone's death. We're like, right? We don't even know.
Stop rushing us, Russ.
God. Yeah,
nope. I don't really know these
Donnie,
guys.
Will you stay?
Yeah. I'll stay. It's fine. I'll stay with you.
I give him a hug.
He reciprocates?
I think he would.
I would think so.
Wormlings have arms. Yeah, they got arms. Yeah, he reciprocates.
It's around, like, the neck area.
So you're hugging that.
Well, yeah, but it's what's on the inside that counts. Yep.
I feel like Donnie and I should come up with some sort of a real elaborate handshake.
Okay. You need to show him the picture. I think you might lose some digits on a real elaborate handshake with him.
Wearing armor and stuff, I think I'd be all right.
Donnie's a medium dragon, right? Like, he's huge.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Yeah. No. There's a handshake.
And at the end, he blows fire at you, but you hold your shield up, and then you go,
I like it. Donnie climbs in the back with you, and he is a companion of yours.
Neat. Let's go. I hope we find those guys again, to be honest. It was just a little fun. You know, regular evildoers.
Oh, the guys we ran into before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but there's going to be lots of guys to run into like that.
God, I can't wait. Hey, remember that time that we fought that sucky bitch?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Jesus. I hope she comes back.
Maybe we'll run into her. Some unfinished business.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's make a list of people who've wronged us and that we should probably tie up those loose ends. Because there's a lot.
And it's not the worst idea I've ever heard. And we got time to kill on this carriage ride.
Yeah. Oh, remember, I know you know this about me and how great I am with names. Do you remember High Elf McWizard Dumbface? With the brains in the jars and all the zombies?
Sure. What was his name?
I don't know. I need the first letter, though. If I'm given the first letter.
T.
Theosin?
Thaddeus Crimsbane.
Thaddeus?
No.
That's not right.
Thelonious
Crimsbane. Yeah, he's kind of hot, though.
Oh, yeah, you had a little thing for him.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like the power.
Well, I mean, until you saw the brains in the jars, and then it was like, oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Okay, so we got him.
Okay.
There was the sucky bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who else do we have on this list?
Oh, yeah. Don't you got something going on with you there that you got to take care of?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, unless you want to look like this. Gestures to himself. I don't know if that's how that happens, but...
There ain't nothing wrong with the way you look, friend. But yeah, I should probably nip this one in the bud, hey?
So, Red Wizards? Ooh.
Arcane Brotherhood.
All right, I'd say we get that taken care of first.
Right. I know they gave us a list of stuff at one point, but fucked if I could remember what it is.
That's such a long time ago.
I think that notebook got burned up. I think there was some sort of amulet of wonder, though, if I remember correctly.
Mm. Amulet of wonder? That doesn't even ring a bell.
Oh.
But I've done a lot of drugs.
I mean, we could always go back and check with them, I guess.
I mean, if we're heading back anyway to talk to Leosin.
Might as well.
Wait, were they all in right. a different town? I can't remember.
They were in Luskin, headquarters, but I mean...
There's got to be, like, an ambassador there, right, that we could just chat with?
Likely. You continue traveling for a couple hours, and you turn a corner, and the road ahead of you is blocked by a pool of lava.
Oh my god, yes! What is this? No, any thoughts, really? What is this?
It looks like,
I mean,
flaming hot lava.
Lava in the middle of the road. It's unexpected.
Yeah, in a forested area and all. I jump off the carriage, not into the lava.
Yeah, it's a head away from where you are.
I pick up a rock and I throw it into the lava.
It hits the lava and seemingly like melts into it.
This seems like a great way to like get rid of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, probably not great for the environment for recycling purposes, but yeah, just to get rid of things.
Yeah.
Do you have things you want to get rid of?
No, but I mean, like, if we had come across those guys and there were bodies that needed to be disposed of. Anyway, is it like a concentrated, like a puddle, literally like the size of the road?
So like a 6x6?
Thereabouts.
6x6 puddle of, okay, can I make an investigation or like a perception check to see like what is in what's what? Is it investigation?
Yes.
Okay, 17.
You're looking at it and you're getting closer to it and you don't really feel a lot of heat coming off of it.
Guys, it's not that hot. I put my hands out like I'm warming myself.
As you get closer, it's not the heat that you, having just come from the inside of a volcano, it feels like nothing.
I toss another rock in and I look real closely.
Make an arcane. That's not really going to tell you anything.
Would it be a nature check? Like, do I know if this happens in nature? Just like sometimes?
Go nature or arcana.
Spontaneous lava pools?
Spontaneous lava pools. Well, nature is only a +2, which is weird because I'm a druid. But arcana is a 7, so that's a 19.
There's a bit of, like, it seems very out of place. Like, there shouldn't be a pool of lava here.
Can I, like, investigation check and see if I see anything out of the ordinary besides this pool of lava?
Sure.
Come on, goodness. That is a 22.
Ooh, hey.
As you hop down and they're looking around, you don't see anything out of the ordinary. Everything seems to be in place, kind of along. You don't see any signs of people or anything else in the trees, for that matter.
You hop down, you're also looking around, one giant pile of lava on the road.
You also, as you get closer, you don't feel any heat being emitted from it. And with a 22, both of you begin to sense that maybe there's something magical about it.
Well, I had that feeling from the get-go. Lava doesn't just appear in places unless it does.
Sure.
Flynn, okay, so, I think this is straight up magic lava.
Okay.
It's not hot.
I'm not super good with magic, so I'm going to defer to your thoughts on this.
The things we throw into it, do they look like they burn up, or do they just...
It looks like they are being, like, sucked into, and as you would toss something into lava, looks like it's melting or burning.
So if, like, a Terminator fell into this lava pool, would he have the strength to put the thumbs up out?
Always.
Or would he just be gone?
You gotta find a Terminator before we know the true answer to this.
Okay.
Tibby!
The age-old riddle.
Tibby!
If a Terminator falls in the lava pool in the woods, does he have the strength to give the thumbs up?
Yeah, and if anyone's around to see it, does he give the thumbs up at all?
Good question.
Give me a thumbs up. I don't know. I feel like this is kind of Portal-esque. Donnie, have you ever seen anything like this before?
Like a magically appearing
Lava pool.
Lava pool? I mean, if only there was a way to tell if it was magic or not.
Well, I for sure believe in my heart and hearts it's magic, but I guess I'm gonna detect magic on it. So I put my hands over top of it and I go, tell me what kind of magic you are.
You magic?
Hey. You magic?
Hey, you magic?
Hey, you magic?
You do so, and it begins to glow for you with this aura that surrounds the entire pool. And as you move closer to inspect it, there definitely is no heat coming off of it, but you also sense that it is some sort of illusion spell.
Well, it's magic. Somebody put it here. Somebody put it here to stop people, because this is just a trick. I take one step into the lava.
Am I, like, hanging on to her? What's happening here?
You tell me. Do you just step
in? I'm impulsive. I'm just stepping in. What are you doing, Flint? Okay.
I'm just caught off guard by the fact that you're just stepping into it.
Flint,
I fall in. I go, fuck you.
You see Thea begin to move to step into the lava. Her foot hits the top of it. And as the stones that you tossed into did, it begins to envelop around and looks like it's burning. You feel no heat from it. And as you step down, it's about 4 to 6 inches until you hit ground. There's no heat, your foot is fine, and you have stepped onto the ground beneath this.
But I don't tell him that, and I scream out in pain, and I go,
And I rush forward to grab her, to pull her back out of it.
And I just jump just out of your reach, fully into the puddle, and go, JK, it's an illusion. It's meant to stop passerbys. I bet someone's already raided our... Someone's probably taking all our shit right now. We've been looking at this fucking puddle of lava. I turn around to look at the cart.
Seemingly untouched.
Oh, I was wrong about pilfering. But we can just drive right through this if we can convince the horses, it's fine.
All right.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll
literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Reslayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
I'm gonna use...
whoever's riding or driving, do an animal handling
check. Yeah, well, I was going to grab them by the reins and lead them through.
Yeah, still an animal handling.
Oh, I've got a +9 to animal handling.
Well, I'm a minus
one. That's a 20.
-1. I don't even know why I have a horse.
At 20.
Yeah, there's some initial resistance, but as they kind of notice that you yourself are walking in and they...
there's a lot of wool.
You've got
boy,
them
good boy.
Kind of blinders on. They walk through and you make it through this lava pool illusion unscathed.
Lava pool illusion.
We solved the lava pool puzzle.
Lava palooza! Okay, well, that was weird.
Yeah, do you think we're going to run into, like, more shit like that?
Oh, God, I hope so. I'm, like, thrill-seeker Thea at this point. Like, I just fucking want just, like, whatever, man. All right, I hop back up on the carriage. Is it a carriage? Cart.
Cart.
Cart?
Carriage. I've been calling it a carriage, but... I mean,
it's all the same shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you hop back up on, and you carry on your way. Down the road a ways, you begin to hear the sound of... hold on, make a perception check.
20.
Also pretty good. Well, I didn't have my page open for my bonus. 17.
Just trust me, it's also pretty good.
You hear muffled what sound like, from the tone, the insults being thrown back at, like back and forth between two different voices, spells being thrown off. You hear like ice being formed and breaking. That's what you hear at this moment.
Hey, do you hear fighting?
Yeah, it sounds like wizards?
Why does everyone immediately think wizards when there are spells being thrown?
Oh, I guess it's just like that default assumption, but that's right. I shouldn't assume.
Thank you. Should we go and see what's up?
Yeah, yeah. And sorry again about the spell shaming.
Hey, no, that's okay. Us druids, we're, you know, we didn't study for it. It's just, you know, whatever.
Arguably.
I think if you can't say arguably, you shouldn't be able to argue after that
point.
Yeah,
probably the sentence has to stop there.
It does, and it does.
You carry on a little more ways, and the sounds are getting louder, and you begin to see, like, ice walls being thrown up all sides. And as you get close, you see one massive ice wall that cuts across, and beyond it, you can kind of see figures casting these spells on the other side of the ice wall, but it appears impassable from your current standpoint to if you were to try to go around.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do these figures appear to be casting them at one another, or are they just, like, showing off?
Look what I can do.
From the tone of voice, and you can begin to hear more muffled phrases, but things like, "You sissy nanny pants! You stole my spell book!"
Oh, God, you're right. All right. I yell over the wall. Excuse me!
It was my spell book! You stole it in the first place!
Hello?
What?
Ahoy, hoy!
Who's
there? What seems to be the problem there, gents?
Nope, nobody's here.
You're talking right now.
No.
Yeah. Also, someone made this big ice wall.
It's super impressive. I would love to meet the person who made this ice wall.
Oh, you're too kind. And a doorway in the ice wall opens up, kind of melts away and opens up, and you see two men, one very stick thin, very old, like how are you alive kind of old. The skin is just like hanging off of his bones, but he's got a big smile, rosy cheeks. The other man, he's a very burly kind of, he's got a spiraled mustache, very slicked over and very well done hair, and he's standing very perturbed, like a few steps back. And the older man, he comes forward and he says, "Yes, well, that was me who created this. How did you get past the lava? You're not supposed to step inside lava."
We
were trying to keep people away, so we put that fun thing there.
What are you keeping people away from?
Our fisticuffs here.
Oh,
is it like a wizard's duel?
I can't remember which voice I was using when I said that you stole my spellbook, but I think he stole my spellbook.
I did not steal your spellbook. I took my spellbook back.
Oh, you didn't write your name in it.
Oh.
Look, it says Dandel's spellbook right here.
Who's Dandel?
I am Dandel.
He is Dandel.
And it says his name in the book.
He wrote it. Look at it. He scratched it in there with a knife right now.
Oh, just right now? Dandel, that's in poor form.
I am Armix the Great. You seem like fine travelers. What brings you through this woods? Let me get this thing out of the way here.
He dispels the ice wall. Are we battling still?
Yes, in a moment.
I have a question.
Fire away, my dear.
Can you not share the spellbook?
No, you can't share secrets. You can't share a wizard's spellbook.
But if you've both read it.
Yeah, how did he have it in the first place then?
I don't know what you're talking about. Could you help me get my spellbook back? You hold him down, I'll like rub dirt in his face or something.
Well, that sounds like a super mature way to deal with this.
Yeah,
What if you had a competition and the winner wins the rights to own the book?
Who did?
Ooh, we could be judges.
Oh, what kind of competition would we do?
A magic competition, obviously.
Well, yeah, you were the ones who used their illusion magic to make that lava on the path and then made the ice wall.
Good? So.
It was good. It stopped us for a whole 5 minutes.
5 minutes, that's all?
Well, I mean, she knows a thing or two about magic. It would have stopped me a lot longer.
Oh, you're a wizard as well.
No.
Huh?
She's a druid.
Oh. You're one of the earthen types.
Yes.
You draw from the land.
You don't have to say it
I do.
You seem like good people still. No, nevertheless. Okay. So we have a competition. Let's say that we perhaps hand over the book to you, and we cast, because you know about magic, we cast one of the spells in the book, and if we get it, if either of us get that one right, the very hardest one, or the one that you pick, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
if we get that right, then it's truly that person's book.
Of course. Why not?
This seems like a rigged situation.
Well, sir, if it's really your book, of course you know all the spells.
Yeah, you would have it inside and out memorized.
I would. I would have it inside and out memorized.
So there's nothing to worry about for you.
Nothing to worry about for me.
So hand over the book. I'm not a wizard. These spells would be absolutely useless to a lowly druid such as myself. Yeah,
also not a wizard over here.
If you couldn't tell.
pegged you as not a wizard there, scarred one.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, but just thought I'd let you know for sure. Put your mind at ease in case you were wondering.
He takes a few steps towards you and kind of two hands holding the book out past the other wizard.
and I rip off my face mask to reveal a wizard underneath this entire time. I played the long game for this spell book.
He hands it over to you to just kind of in both of your general direction.
I take the book.
There's resistance.
I pull.
Pulling back.
I tug. I say, please.
And he releases it. Fine.
Thank you. Whoa.
Choose a spell. One of the most difficulty.
Can we have a little aside to decide here?
Sure. Yes, of course. Of course. Of course. And they go back kind of off to the side there. And like, I'm finally going to get my spell book back.
What if we make them cast us a wish?
Do we know what that spell does?
Wish is a mightiest spell a mortal creature can cast. By simply speaking aloud, you can alter the very foundations of reality in accord with your desires.
Basically, that's the most powerful spell in the game. Now,
do these wizards know that spell?
Tom, you roll a d20. Amy, okay. You choose odds or evens.
Evens. No odds!
17.
The spell is in there. Or what you can presume is that is a... It says wish, and it describes some components. And so it has some somatic and verbal directions beside it.
Okay, so my first thing...
Like, what do we want them to... What are we wishing for?
Oh, geez. We have to be careful. Things like this can go bad really quickly. You know, like, you wish that someone would fall in love with you and that person becomes, like, completely obsessed with you and ends up, like, murdering you in a lover's rage.
Sure, yeah, it becomes, like, a real single white female situation.
Yeah. So, I don't know what that means. But, yes, it sounds like that.
It was a movie from the early 90s where, like, this woman gets a roommate and then the roommate, like, obsesses over the other person's life and tries to, like, kill everyone in her life and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so it's like a psychosexual thriller.
What's a movie?
That was out of game, Amy.
Oh, that was out of game. Yeah. Okay. I think we should, I don't know, can you wish someone to tell the truth about the book?
Ooh, that's real smart.
One always lies, one always tells the truth.
Right? Which one is it? Should we try that out? Worst that can happen is we're back to where we are and we just get them to do another spell.
I mean, I feel like we should ask for something impartial towards the book.
Fair enough.
Because that way neither one of them will have... any, like, ulterior motive.
I know. I wish I had my bag of holding back.
It's a good wish.
Without any of the items inside, because I want those to remain with the dragon.
I'm into it. Let's do it.
Because that's what I was wanting to give at the beginning, during the big meeting with the dragons. I said they could have everything in my bag of holding. And then they took the bag, and I wanted the bag back.
No, she wanted the bag because it was a stolen bag.
She wanted that bag.
Oh, the bag was stolen. Really?
Yeah.
I don't recall. I don't. Yeah. That didn't.
She wanted the
way,
bag, and then you just forgot to take all your shit out. That's how that went.
Oh right, yes I did. Okay then, I just wish for a new bag of holding.
I'm into it. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Magnanimous wizards.
Yes, yes. What have you decided? Something very difficult, obviously.
I have a wish.
A wish.
A wish.
My dear, I'm trying very hard not to look down, but wish spells can be
difficult.
Difficult.
I turn toward Flint and I say, did I miss hear them? Did they not want the most difficult spell?
I mean, no, that is what they said, and they also were talking up their abilities pretty highly, so
they
I feel like this is a good ask.
I don't wish for anything grand. I wish I had a bag of holding. See, I used to have one, but I don't anymore. And while I don't wish to have that bag of holding back, I would like a new one. Can it be done?
Well, of course it can be done. Yes, yes, it's really quite easy, actually. Some may say that you don't even have to break a sweat over something like that.
Says, "Well, confident."
Dandel says, "Okay. You wish for a bag of holding. Anything else being wished for? That seems like a rather small use of such a spell."
Flint, is there anything you wish for? I suppose if they do have to separately
make a
wish.
Oh, they do both have to cast wish, don't they? Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
What if I could speed this along, this entire thing, and just lickety-split, just get you what you need?
Well, getting us what I need and creating what we ask for are two different things.
That's true, good sir. That's very true. But she has wished for a bag of holding. Yes?
Yes.
The wizard.
Russ, before you go forward.
Yeah.
Are there any, like, missing dwarven relics that I'm aware of through my history knowledge?
A former king of Mithril Hall, Brunor Battlehammer, his axe was lost in a battle before he was, before his kinghood was transferred. It is a single-bladed axe with a gold handle, and carved within it is the symbol of Clan Battlehammer, which is a foaming mug.
So if this axe were to magically appear in front of Flint, he would know it without question.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, good wizards, I do have a request then. I wish for you to present me the axe of one Brunor Battlehammer.
Okay. Great.
Cool.
The one to complete this task quickest or first, or how do we want to determine this?
Well, I don't think both of you are going to be able to complete it. So whoever does complete the task within, what do we say, an hour?
What's the castings? Hold on.
It's instantaneous.
Oh,
so,
shit, all
right. Within, like, right fucking now.
So a 5-minute time limit? Whoever can do it in 5 minutes? Chop style?
Says, all right. One axe and one bag of holding coming up. They begin separately to recite incantations. Each sounds slightly different than the other.
Can I try to follow along in the book? I assume the incantation is written down. Mm-hmm. It's a spell book, right?
Yep.
Can I follow along?
Yeah, neither sound exactly like what's written there.
Okay.
I can't wait for our magical axe bag that attacks us to show up.
It's gonna be good.
We're back in the middle.
We need more middle songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm the only one.
I mean, there's that Jimmy World middle song that we've never used, which is sort of surprising. Sure. Maybe too
and
on
that,
the nose.
Yeah. Zed, Marin, Morrison, Gray with the middle. That one was
Why
popular
don't
this
you
year.
Just meet me in the middle.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're here.
I like the Russa Ridges, though.
Yeah, those they're much better.
Good. Yeah, right. You're right. Those are better.
Yeah. That's what I go
Keep
for
Keep them
here.
Up, Russ. We love them.
Thank you. Thank you. Where I sing all the time. Not true. I haven't sung a lot lately in the latest season. I need to up my game on the singing.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. Is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. We've got beginning in September,
which is now. We had added a whole bunch of new tier options. Some really cool stuff, including a whole bunch of exclusive bonus content that you can get your hands on, but your ears on.
Get your digital hands all over it.
That's right. What are some of those bonus content things?
Oh, maybe like the side-scroller episodes that I DM?
Those ones? Mm-hmm.
Those are bonus contents. They come out every 15th of the month. And right now, I do believe the players are in a fun baking competition.
They certainly are in a fun baking competition. I'm thinking that they're going to do really well.
I'm assuming so.
Maybe.
Maybe. I wasn't rolling very good, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We also debuted our new show over on Patreon. Previous long-running patrons heard some of the episodes already, but we have more episodes coming for our new show, Facing Fate, which launches January 2020. That seems like a long way away, but it's really not.
But it's not very far away. And if you're a patron, you're going to be able to hear it ahead of everybody else.
We are releasing weekly episodes right now. I think we're up to episode 3 next week that's coming out. And then there will be 10 episodes that all come out for patrons exclusively before they're available to the public. So we want you to go check that out. As well, we were just together for a really cool live show. Did we tell you about the live show?
Oh, that's a thing that happened. We were in Edmonton. It was wonderful. We weren't allowed to swear. And we did it.
I think we did it. Yeah.
We didn't swear. We did it.
We checked all the boxes. We hit the time limit. We didn't swear. It was a great time. And that's going to be available to patrons as soon as I'm able to get it edited. But again, it will be available to patrons before everybody else. So go check that out at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Please and thank you. Now let's get you back to the episode.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Both. There's no success or fail on this. It just happens.
It just happens, but...
Fucking wish spells.
But I mean, only one of them should know the spell, correct? If we've determined this correctly.
Not true.
You would think. Dandel finishes his incantation and a glow begins to form within his hands. And it spreads out to begin to form a long-handled, single-headed axe. As it comes into view, Armix finishes his incantation. And in a swirl of light and sparkle, a bag flumps into his hand.
So graceful.
The axe begins to form, and it is clear as day the axe that went missing from Brunor Battlehammer. And Armix walks over to Thea and hands you this bag. Says, "There's your bag, my dear."
I take it, I tuck the book under my arm, and I take it and I inspect the bag. I cast Detect Magic on it.
Sure.
Because it should be a fucking magical bag.
Yeah.
Is it a magical fucking bag?
It is a magical fucking bag. Right. It is a bag of holding. You also...
Do I see anything, like, embossed on it? Emblazoned, perhaps?
It looks... you tell me what the bag looks like.
The bag is messenger bag style. Yeah. It's got that flap. And on it, it is embossed, I guess, stamped with, it's a brown bag stamped with green leaves and vines that go along the edge, but otherwise, very simple. It'd go with anything. Yeah.
Awesome.
I gingerly put my hand into the bag to see if there's anything inside of it.
There doesn't appear to be anything inside of it.
Well, that's unusual, an empty bag of holding. Okay.
Brand new
well
bag.
Done, Armix.
Your detect magic also picks up two varying degrees of conjuration magic. A very powerful aura coming from this axe, and a much lesser aura coming from kind of Armix and the bag.
Armix, you did cast Wish to get this bag, did you not?
Of course, I granted your wish to get you this bag, my dear.
No. You didn't. I did not want you to grant my wish to get me this bag.
But
I wanted you to cast Wish to get me this bag.
And I did. I answered your wish to get you the bag. Okay, book, please.
I slap his hand away. It is very clear to me who the winner of this challenge is.
You see his...
We're going to have to fight him.
You see his eyes begin to glow a deep red, and he says, "Give me the book."
No.
No.
You know what? Let me think about it for a minute. I'm going to say no. I'm going to have to say no. This was fair and square, except you didn't use the spell.
Dandel sees Armix getting very agitated, and he says, you need to run now. As his eyes begin to glow red, and you see a ball of flame begin to form in his hands.
I mean, we should probably be running at
this
point.
Throw the book at Dandel.
Throw the book at him, Amy.
I literally toss the spell book at Dandel.
It flies through the air, and Armix looks at it as it's flying through the air, and it hits Dandel's hand. The axe drops to the ground, and unless you're doing anything else, make a dex save.
I mean, he wasn't able to throw the axe to me while he was catching the book.
17 plus.
Oh, nat 20.
Oh, bitch, yeah. 19.
I feel like I've got the most dexterity ever known.
You have
to
all
man.
The dex.
Or dwarf.
You're so dexterous.
A massive ball of fire erupts from Armix. He casts Fireball. Dandel, in an instant, quickly sees you two running and conjures shield in front of your carriage. And shields you a bit, but shields your horses from the fire blast. You're going to take some damage.
That seems fair.
Yeah, half 8d6.
Whoa! At least the horses are okay.
Four.
And I feel like on my nat 20, I should take 25% of 8d6, but
10. 22. So you take 11 fire damage as you dive into the trees and you see your horses rear up as they are protected and shielded by Dandel and the spell that he cast. They turn and face each other and begin firing spells back and forth at each other again.
Do we have anything like a net or a hook or a net with hooks on it?
Maybe.
What's your plan here, Flint?
You tell me what your plan is and justify why it would be in there.
My plan is to tie something to the end of my dwarven thrower that will maybe hook that axe and bring it on back to me while it flies on by.
Hmm.
You know, don't stop, never give up, hold your head high and reach the top. Show the whole world what you have got. Bring it all back to me.
I could potentially just, like, pop over there real fast.
They're slinging spells, like, back and forth, like, high-casted, high-damage spells at each other.
I don't think it's a good idea for us to, like, wade back into that minefield, but if I could maybe, like, snag that axe with the old boomerang hammer...
Yeah, we'll say that if you as you can probably make it back to the carriage, and yeah, I mean, sure, you've got it in the back there. You got to make an attack throw. Just give me a plus the weapons bonus.
Sure. All right. Okay. So I jury rig MacGyver style something together. To maybe, like, scoop this axe back up on its flight back. Like, you know those tire strips, how they're, like, only one way? So if you drive over them the other way, they're, like, free and clear. So, yeah, I set that up so that if it flies over it one way, it's okay. But when it flies back, it, like, digs into the ground a little and, like, drags it on over.
Yeah.
So that is a 27 for the Dwarven Thrower.
As lightning bolts and flames are being shot all around, ice being carved up the walls again, you throw your dwarven hammer. It cuts between these two wizards and zips back, but as the rope kind of clears through, not only does it catch your axe, but it clears the feet out from under the wizards and they fall to the ground. The axe comes back, tumbling back to the carriage. It doesn't quite make it all the way to you, but it makes it to the carriage.
Gonna grab it, and then we're gonna get the fuck out of here.
Hightail it.
You notice there is another path a ways back. You turn the other way so as not to get in the midst of these two battling wizards, and you head back to that other path, going back to Waterdeep.
Oh, they crazy. How long do you think they've been battling?
I think a while.
I think Armix was young when they started.
But hey, you got that sweet bag there.
I do finally have a new bag of holding. Feels good.
And I got this axe that we've been looking for fuck, millenniums, pretty much.
Oh, that's good. Maybe they'll make you king because of it.
I mean, I don't want to be king. I just want to put it back to Mithril Hall, where it belongs.
Yeah, I guess that's okay, too. Okay.
And I mean, really, it's just a ceremonial axe more than anything. It's...
Sure. Yeah, I got it. You guys head back, you're talking along the way.
I mean, FYI, Russ, if they want to make Flint king, whatever, I'm down for it. But, like, that's not his angle here.
We'll get there when we get there.
Do you want me to hold your axe? I show my bag.
I mean, let's maybe put something a little less valuable in it first to make sure that it's a proper working bag of holding before we put that super valuable axe that just got returned to us in there.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I take a pen from...
A pen?
Yeah.
Like a quill? A
quill.
Yeah.
A quill pen?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like a fountain pen, I assume that they... If they forged...
I mean, the person's got to be writing with something.
Yeah, I guess weapons?
Yeah. No, I think you took some. Yeah, fountain pens. Yeah.
I always have fountain pens with me.
Oh, you did? You stole them from the one desk?
I sure did.
Yep.
I put one into the bag of holding.
It goes in.
And then I reach in to take it out.
And it comes out.
Oh. All right. I've seen enough for me.
He answered your wish.
I guess he did.
Thought it might be some sort of trick bag of holding.
Maybe. Especially with the look on Russ's face, but I mean. All right, let's see what other shenanigans we can get up to on the road home.
The songs Nowhere Land, Healing, Infados, and The Machine Thinks are by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. If you like what you're hearing, consider supporting the show by visiting patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
It's a couple days later. Nulara has been... the ceremony to bury... Nope, fuck it.
Nulara has been disposed of. That's what he was going to say.
No, that wasn't. I was going to say bury.
You know you can compost humans now?
Really?
Just saying.
You continue traveling for a couple roads.
Just a couple roads.
Just a couple roads.
It's fine.
We're playing Settlers of Catan, and you've built four roads.
It's not the longest road.
They're not joined, though. It's not the longest road.
Oh. Gotta get that middle piece.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Contact Day is in but a few short months, which means it is time to begin preparations for the Bi-Decennial Festival. This year, we're celebrating every single one of you living in my beloved Windfall City.
It is not our business to question the Queen's will. It is not our business to do anything but follow it.
It is you and your loyalty that has laid the groundwork for this incredible utopian society that we seek for.
You have any idea what's going on with us?
Your mouth shut, grub.
It is the duty of each and every one of you to do everything you can to make the festival a success this year.
Are you ready to speak kindly with me now, child?
I have no doubt that this year will be one for the history books, and that will be due in no small part to the dedication of my adoring subject.
Windfall, a dystopian science fiction podcast from Rogue Dialogue.